Well, good morning to all of you. It is good always to be in Cullum. I'm always corrected when I use it, when I pronounce it that way, but I say that's how they pronounce it. And it has been a long time since I've been coming here. I believe it was 1982. You were having the Great Plains Conference here, and our first time here was in 1982. So, and you've got the Great Plains Conference coming, and look forward to you having a good time of fellowship together. We still, even though we are no longer in the Great Plains, we still pray for the people and keep in touch with what is going on. Since there is, I'm going to give you an advertisement. You ready? Since there is no 4C Church in Bismarck, I heartily invite you to the Bethel Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Mandan on 2nd and 2nd. That's where we attend. We have a good fellowship of about 60 people there, mostly young families, and we're grateful for them. So you're invited to Bethel OPC. To see all of you again and be with you is a privilege. Today, my wife Louise is with me. Sometimes she doesn't come, but she is here today. And our oldest daughter, Pam, is also here. She lives in Hettinger, North Dakota, and owns a coffee shop there. So if you get down there, it's the best coffee shop in town. Oh, it's the only one. So anyway, it's called the Peacock Mercantile. It's on the main street. We'd encourage you to go there. There I'm done with all of the advertisements. Now, just to tell you what has been on my heart, For many weeks already, I've known that I would be preaching here. Adam kindly invited me to come, and it's just a privilege to come. I preached two Sundays ago at the Reformed Church United States in Dickinson and brought them the message that I'm going to bring to you. And then next Sunday, and for the next three Sundays, I will be preaching at our church in Mandan because our pastor is going to our national Presbyterian meeting and then going on vacation. And so I have a series of three messages, and you're going to get them all today. I'll just give you an introduction and then the first message and go from there. But you know, one of the interesting things is in June, I always end up filling in June for pastors. And I've never figured out why people leave North Dakota in June. It's the most beautiful month. When we plan our vacations, it is not in June. We want to be here in June. And so it's a privilege to be able to come and share with you and bring to you a message on you and myself needing a high view of the church. And hopefully God will bless my words as we bring them to you. Shall we pray? Father, I do thank you for the preparation and worship that we have had through the hymns that have been sung and the special music that has brought us before your throne of grace. And we ask now, Lord, as your word is open to us, that you will be gracious to us and pour out upon us your spirit that we might be refreshed. Our Father, as Wes has prayed today, our country is in desperate, desperate need. But we thank you that you are Lord of heaven and this old, ugly earth. You are Lord. And so we pray that you would refresh us today from your word, by your spirit, as we consider your church and gaining a higher view of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn to that psalm that Wes read, Psalm 48? I would encourage you to read it for yourself again several times. I would read it again, but because of time, I want to just drop down to verse 12. And I'd like you to pay very close attention to what is being said here. The psalm is reflective of Jerusalem, the city of the great king, where his temple was. And the psalmist is praising God for the opportunity to see that great city of Zion. But there is another message that is contained within that. And we can particularly see it as we look at verse 12. Verse 12, Psalm 48. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Number her towers. Consider well her ramparts. Go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us forever. I read this several weeks ago in my devotion time, and it was such an encouragement to me, and I hope it is an encouragement to you. All the commentators agree that when it's talking here about the towers, the ramparts, and the citadels in verses 12 and 13, it's talking about the doctrines, the teachings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word of God, the word of faith that we embrace, is like high towers, great citadels, and ramparts. And we are encouraged to walk around them and consider them and to understand what a great, great gospel of Jesus Christ it is. Thank you for coming to worship today, to worship the God who sent the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ who came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received them, he gave the right to become sons of God. And that opportunity is still ours as the Church of Jesus Christ. And my dear friends at Cullum, if this sad, sinful, dark, lonely world ever needed a message of hope, it is today. We need, and I beg of you, leaders of this congregation and members and attenders, I beg you to understand the great privilege that is yours as a Christian. Wherever it is you worship, you folks from Tennessee, and all of you that are visiting here, wherever it is that you worship, that the great citadel, the city of Zion, the Church of Jesus Christ is, has always been, is now, and will ever be the vessel of hope to a world that is dying and dead. And it is your privilege, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, to carry that good news to this world in which we live. These messages that I'm going to bring in the first part today are an exhortation to all of us to value the Church of Jesus Christ highly. If you value it highly, you are here. You are here for worship. That's what we are called to do on this, the Lord's Day, to lift him up and to praise him. That's what we are called to. Maybe you are discouraged with situations in your own life. Maybe you're discouraged with your, quote, church. But who is the church, my friends? The church is not a building. This is a great building. It's been here many, many years. But that's not the church. The church is each and every daughter and son of God. That's who the church is. And it is our joy and our privilege to carry before a dark world the great gospel of Jesus Christ. So I urge you, those of you in authority, those of you that are members, wherever you might be, value highly the church. Don't tear her walls down. The verse we didn't sing in the church's one foundation says, by schisms rent about the church, yet she on earth hath union with God, the three in one. I've been a pastor for years and years. I've been a Christian since I was 16. And churches have problems. But we bear the gospel light before a world that is much worse off. Build the church. Give to the church. Give of your time. Give of your energies. Give of your gifts. Give of your money. And give of your attendance. In the Presbyterian Church, of which I am now a member, in the Westminster Confession of Faith, great summation of the doctrines, the citadels, the ramparts, and the towers. We are told within this from the scriptures that what we have, God's grace is poured out through the preaching of the word, through prayer, through fellowship, and through the sacraments. That is what the scriptures teach. So when you absent yourself from the fellowship of believers, taking yourself away from the church, so to speak, when you don't turn out on the day when you have communion, you're doing two things. God's grace is not received by you because that's where it is. It is in the body of Jesus Christ. And then the fellowship of believers also loses because you have gifts and abilities that are not shared. I said a couple of years ago, I talked to a friend of mine who is greatly gifted. But he and his family, if I don't know if they're six, were not attending church anywhere and hadn't for years. And I was so grieved because of the talents and the gifts that man and his family have, but that were not being shared with the greater church because of their absenting themselves from that. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about what others are losing because you're not in attendance? Now, I know I'm probably speaking to the choir because you are here, but you all know people who are not coming out to worship the one true and living God. And you need to encourage them that not only are they losing, but the church is losing because of that. So please value highly the assembly of the church of Jesus Christ. In these messages, particularly from Ephesians chapter 6, and you can, or 4, you can turn over there if you would like, please. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to give you some of the hallmarks of the Church of Jesus Christ. Some of the hallmarks. And you heard them again in the hymns that were chosen. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore a prisoner for the Lord, this is Paul, in difficult circumstances, writing to the church at Ephesus. And what does he say to them? I urge you, and that's what I'm doing this morning. I am urging you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. As the society in which we live, as the pillars of our society are being torn down, and that's what they're doing. They're tearing down the pillars of our society. We as a church cannot allow them to tear down the pillars of the Church of Jesus Christ. You must stand for the truths of the gospel as contained within God's word. You must stand there. Many of you are old enough to know how in the past churches have fallen and failed because they gave in to the pressures. Our church right now bought the Methodist Episcopal Church in Mandan, built in 1920. Beautiful stained glass windows dedicated in the memory mainly of the pastors of that church. Why did we buy it? Because they died. They compromised the word of God and ended up dying. It's dangerous. As the pillars of society are being torn down, stand.